2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 8, and we're going to start off in verse 10. We're in this big section that's talking about giving, and hopefully it's been somewhat encouraging to you, this section on giving. I've personally gotten a lot out of it, even though I wasn't here the first week that Hal talked about giving, but it's always an interesting topic when you talk about giving. So we're going to start in verse 10, and we're going to look to the Lord, see how far we get, and possibly down through verse 15. So we'll just see how our time goes. Let's just start off in verse 10, and I'll read down through verse 15. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now, finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not the case, this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. It takes us down through verse 15. So let's just start in verse 10, go back there, and he says, I give my opinion in this matter, this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. So first of all, Paul gives his opinion here in verse 10. It's interesting that he does this in two other places where he says, I'm giving my opinion about this particular matter. So if we were to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we can see it here in verse 25 and in verse 40. The idea here of Paul giving his opinion about something. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 25 reads like this. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. So there we see Paul laying out the same thing. He says he's not giving a command, but he's giving an opinion, or I think the KJV uses the word advice. Is that correct? Uses the word advice? Okay, so we have advice there. And then down in verse 40, same chapter there, but in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God. So there again, we see just what's being said, the same in 2 Corinthians, that he is giving his opinion about this matter. So, it's not coming across as a command, but it's coming across as advice or as an opinion that Paul is laying before the believers here in the church of 2 Corinthians or in Corinth. So in verse 10, I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago. And so let's talk about that. They had the advantage because they began a year ago. So what did they begin a year ago? Just what did they start? A year ago, what did they start? They have an advantage because they began this a year ago. What did they begin?
The church or sharing in general?
Mm-hmm. Sharing in general. Giving to the needs of the poor that were in Jerusalem. I think in specifically is what we find there. So the collection for the churches and the brethren. And how you might have gone over some of this the first week that you began chapter 8, I'm not sure. I haven't had the chance to listen to your tape. So, I don't know. But let's just kind of go through this real quickly. I think it helps us to set the context of what it is that he's talking about. What is it that they started a year ago? Well, if we were to look at this, Paul was instructed to remember the poor. And so let's go back to Acts chapter 11. Acts in chapter 11. In verse 27 through 30, here he is instructed to remember the poor. And this is going to help us understand what it was that they started a year ago. So, would somebody just read out for us Acts chapter 11, verse 27 down through verse 30? Anybody, just read out.
And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Ananias, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Paul.
Okay. So verse 29 says, and in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, this is the way that the NAS reads, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. So this is kind of the cultural and the setting, the historical settings of what was happening. Now it's important to pay attention here in this verse, in the proportion that any of the disciples had means. Now that's going to be a key principle coming out of giving that we're going to find here in just a second. What did it read in the KJV again?
It says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability.
Okay, every man according to his ability was contributing to this contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. So go over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians in chapter 2. And let's look at verse 10. Let's start this one. Here Paul is at the Council of Jerusalem. And verse 9. Recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do also. So here again, they are remembering the poor. So there's this contribution being gathered by all the churches for the poor who were in Jerusalem. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, let's look at verses 1 through 4. Lots of churches were involved in this collection. It wasn't just the church in Corinth. There are lots of different churches that were involved in this collection. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. Lots of churches were involved in this collection that was going on. Now notice in verse 2 there, the middle of verse 2, put aside and save as he may prosper. So according to, how's the KJV read there?
As God has prospered him.
Okay, as God has prospered him. According to what you have, according to your ability, put a little bit away for this collection that's going on here. Again, let's just look at one more. Romans in chapter 15 and verse 25. Okay, Romans chapter 15 and verse 25, and we'll read 26. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Okay, this is what's going on here. We see hopefully a big picture of this collection of the contribution for the poor saints that were living in Jerusalem and in other areas. Go to your next handout there. And this is kind of a good overview. Kind of came out a little bit light on my overhead, but you see it there on yours very clearly. Now, the poor in Jerusalem would have been in this category. I mean, they were living below subsistence. Now, the Corinthians were a little bit better off than the poor in Jerusalem. We're going to see in the text in a little while that they had means to help out the poor that were living in Jerusalem. So the Corinthians would have been living in this 33% here, the minimal existence. But even the Corinthians and all the churches, the Christians in the early church, they were all within these two categories here. I think how you alluded to, like they were 75% in the lower category of how well off they were. So this is kind of a good picture, and I got this out of the Zondervan Bible Backgrounds and Bible Culture. I should have given some credit there to where I got that from. That's kind of a helpful. The early church was in this 75 or 73% of living existence in the first century. We need to keep that in mind as we go through this. Helps us to get a better picture of where they're giving from. Go back to your first hand out there. And let's remember, as we're talking about this, the grace giving that we're talking about, this grace giving included, first of all, giving of oneself to God, and then giving of oneself to the ministry, and finally, giving of oneself financially. So we talk about, this grace giving. It's not just finances. Finances is actually number three we're talking about on the list. First of oneself to the Lord, then of oneself to the ministry, and then finally of oneself financially.
Reading Weber and McGee, and he says there's three books in the church, and he says it's the Bible and the hymn book and pocketbook.
Okay. Yeah, that is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's neat. So let's go back to the text, 2 Corinthians. And so Paul's given his opinion in the matter. And for this is to your advantage, you were the first to begin a year ago. And so hopefully we got an idea as to what had begun. There was this collection that was going on. All the churches were participating, and it was for the purpose to help out the poor that were in Jerusalem. Hopefully we saw kind of clear picture of scriptural evidence as that was going on. So that's what it is that they had first begun a year ago. All right, let's go to page 3. And now we're going to talk about our principle number 1. We got 5 principles that we're going to get through this morning, maybe. So principle number 1 here is that God's grace produces the desire to give. Because notice in the verse 10 there, he says, it is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. Not only just to do this, but also to desire to do this. So what do you think Paul is emphasizing here when he says that? What do you think it is that Paul is emphasizing when he says that they had the desire to do it? Do you think that's important at all? Yeah. What are your thoughts? Why is that important? Because it's not out of compulsion. Always give willingly. Sure. That's right.
It's not under the law.
Right. Exactly.
Which they were
that's
ingrained in
that. Right. Motivated by love. That's right. The motive and the source, I think, is key. And so they had this proper desire from the Lord. They had a genuine desire from the Lord to participate in this grace giving. It wasn't something to where they were under compulsion or they were forced to do it, but it was a genuine desire from God working in their lives. Thus, they wanted to do it. They were, not only did they do it, it's one thing to do it, but it's another thing to have a genuine desire from God to do it. That's two totally separate things. And I think that's important for us to bring out. Because we can be involved in something, we can be doing something, but are we doing it because we genuinely have a desire put inside of us from the Lord, and that is why, the source and the of why it is that we're doing it. I think, and we see that very clearly. You were the first to begin a year ago not only to do, but also to have the desire. So principle number 2, and you guys have pointed this out, giving of ourselves in financially, not grudgingly or of necessity. It wasn't under compulsion. They weren't having to give grudgingly nor of necessity. We're going to bring this out a little bit more when we get into chapter 9 in a couple more weeks. I think I'll be covering these verses here. But go over to chapter 9 and verse 7. Chapter 9 and verse 7. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Exactly what it is that everybody was chiming in about earlier. So we're presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We're walking in the Spirit. We're abiding in Him. And each one of us must do as His purpose in His heart. Why? Because God's working in our lives. And He's communicating to us what it is that He wants us to give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. And then God loves a cheerful giver. All right, now let's look at this. It's interesting that the ending of this verse here, 10, reads differently in the NAS and in the KJV. The NAS reads, "Who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it." And then the KJV reads, "Who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Pretty different as I was studying this out, so I really want to see what's going on here. What's the point at what's being driven at by the Holy Spirit who has inspired these verses for us. So the Greek word here is thelein, comes from the verb thelo, which means to will or to wish, and it's used 213 times in the New Testament. So if we really want to see what's going on, this word desire means to will or to wish. So they had this inward wish to be participating in this contribution for the poor in Jerusalem. They had this inward will to be participating in this contribution for the poor that were in Jerusalem. It wasn't under compulsion, wasn't out of the lawful duty, but they inwardly willed and they wished to be involved in this giving that was going on there. Now, it's interesting where Paul goes next. But now, verse 11, finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. What does that communicate to us when we read verse 11? What does that communicate to us? They weren't quite carrying through with the desire that was at one time put in them by the Lord. They had this desire that was there. It was genuinely put there by the Lord, but there was a little bit of a law. They weren't following through with it the way that God would have intended for them to follow through. Can we relate to that at all? There's a desire that was put there by the Lord. But after a period of time, there becomes a law where we're not following through with the desire. Sure, we can all relate to that in some way, shape, or form. You know, not only money might be one area, but all kinds of areas. There might be a desire to do something, and then after a little while, we don't follow through with it. So he encourages them to continue on in the grace giving. Now, I just want to point out that the definite article is present in front of the doing. So as the KJV reads, perform the doing of it. And the NES leaves this out. So it's very specific. Perform the doing of it. And it's talking about this grace giving. Perform this grace giving, the doing of it. They had started this a year ago. Now they needed to finish what it was that they had begun. They had not begun this grudgingly, but willingly. And they needed to finish this as through the proper motivation and will, which was from the Lord. So this brings us to principle number 3. God's grace produces the readiness of mind. God's grace produces in us the readiness of mind. So let's just read through that verse 11 again. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. So the word readiness is a different word than desire. The word readiness is prothumia. And it communicates to us the idea of eagerness or willingness. So why do you think there's a different use of the words with readiness and desire? What do you think is going on there? Why would Paul use different words for desire, which we saw in verse 10, and then now we come in with this idea of readiness in verse 11? I think that this idea of prothumia here and the idea of eagerness or readiness has kind of taken it to the next step. The desire is one thing, but readiness is another thing. I have the desire to go out with Rachel this coming weekend or whatever for Valentine's Day. Okay, the one thing to have a desire, but there's another thing to be eager to do it and to be ready to do it. See, it kind of takes the idea of desire to the next level. I'm eager to do it. I can be sitting at home and say, yeah, I have the desire to do this. I wish to do this. But something to say, I'm eager to do this. It's kind of taken to the next level.
You'd like to make maybe the priority to be on your list.
So this is making it more of a priority. Absolutely. Yeah, you're ready to respond right there. You're eager to. So it's a little more of a emphatic than just desire. So I think that's what Paul is wanting to communicate here. He's saying, but now finish doing it. You started a year ago. There was the readiness to desire. There was this eagerness to will and to wish to take care of this contributing to the needy saints in Jerusalem. So that there may also be the completion of it by your ability. Let's look at this last. Let me share this slide here in the middle. Kind of a big picture helps you get the flow of what it is that Paul is doing here. So he's saying, number one, you began this thing a year ago. Number two, you desired with proper motivation when you began this. Then there's a law in carrying it out. And then finally, Paul's reminding them of their desire and readiness from the Lord and encouraging them to carry it out. I think when we look at the big picture of this passage, this is what we're seeing. They desired it at the beginning of a year ago. There's a law. Boom. Now he's reminding them to carry it out. So they were to finish or to perform what it was that they started. Finish doing it also. And this is a verb, aorist, active, imperative. There was the readiness, the motivation from Christ, the will or the wish. Now there needs to be the performance out of which they have. Now, Hal brought out last week, I quoted Hal here, and he says, Paul was not giving a command here, as this would be inconsistent with grace giving. So we see that this is a verb, and it's in the imperative, active voice, but it's also coming in Paul's what? Opinion. If we go back to verse 10. So we need to kind of take those two things into consideration. I give you my opinion. I'm giving my advice. Yet he also says to finish or to perform what it is that you have begun a while ago, a year ago. So notice the difference between the NAS and the KJV at the end of verse 11. So there may be also the completion of it by your ability. And the KJV reads, so there may be a performance also out of which you have. So that raises a question. It raises the question, what is it that they have? And I think there's two thoughts that we have here. They have the life of Christ living in and through them. Remember principle number one? God's grace is the source, as it gives us the desire for grace giving. And the second thing that they have are the material blessings that God has given them that they can help with through in the contribution to the needy saints in Jerusalem. So I want to look at both of these thoughts, because I think this is very key for us to understand. So let's compare verses Romans 7:18 with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. it tells us this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Now the same there word for willing, thelo, is the same word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 10 that we looked at earlier. So, was this possibly the Corinthian struggle? Was this possibly the Corinthian struggle? I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. They wanted to do what was good. There was this desire that was there. But because they were walking in the flesh, because they were walking in their own strength, because they were walking in their own ability, there was no way that they could carry it out. Was this possibly the struggle of the Corinthians? Is that possibly our struggle? God communicates to us a desire that He wants us to do, a godly desire, sourced is right, not sourced in self, sourced in Him. But man, if we're walking in the flesh, will we carry it out? Absolutely not. We're going to crash and burn every time when we're walking in our own strength. So grace giving will not be accomplished if, when one is walking in the flesh. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Grace giving will be accomplished if one is walking in the Spirit. So if we're talking about getting to the source of what it is that Paul is communicating to these believers in this second letter to them in Corinth, I think this comes right to the source of what we're talking about. Believers in Corinth, walk in the Spirit. Because you desired this a year ago, right now you're not carrying it out. But if you walk in the Spirit, dependent upon me, by faith, reckoning and abiding in me, you will be carrying this out. I think that cuts to the core of what it is that he's talking about. And you know, it cuts to the source and the core with us as well in our own lives, whether it be giving or whatever the subject might be that we're talking about in our own lives. It's interesting that we're talking about this because I came last week. And we had been gone. I had missed 3 Sundays in a row. And I came back last week because we were out of town. And I had been looking through this passage, you know, thinking it through, teaching it and preparing. Actually, I was supposed to have 2 weeks in a row, but I bailed out on one and Hal covered for me because I was out of town and things like that. And so I had been thinking about our giving. And giving is a kind of a sensitive thing, isn't it? It's a personal thing when it comes to people and their money. You know, you got the Bible, we got the hymnal, and then you got the pocketbook. It's a personal thing with people. There's no doubt about that. And you know, we moved here a year ago, and so before we moved here, we were in a routine. We were in a not a rut, but you know, we were set. You know, we were working in one place for 5 years. You know, everything was predictable. Is what I'm trying to say. So it's easy to It was easier for us to give consistently when we were living in a consistent, predictable financial situation. That's where we came from, okay? And so we did that for basically 5 years. Things were going well. We were giving the way that we wanted to be giving. And this past year, we moved here. Things weren't as predictable. Everything had changed. Everything was different. And so I knew in my mind that we weren't necessarily giving the way that we wanted to. And so I'm thinking this through, and this is far right in line with what it is that I've got to teach today. So I come to church last week. I walk down the hall right there, and Sue hands me the envelope. Lots of y'all got the envelope in the past couple weeks of how much you've given to the church this past year, okay, for your tax write-off. And so I got home, and I opened it, and I was like, holy cow, is that all that we gave? I'll be honest with you. Is that... And because my desire was to give more. You know, I'm not trying to be proud or boastful. I'm just being honest and open with what's going on. I'm sure I'm probably not the only one in this boat. And so as I was reading this through, there was the desire, the will or wish. I think it was sourced in the Lord. I think it was correct. But was I carrying it out? No, I wasn't. It didn't happen last year the way that I would like for it to. So as I go through this passage, what is it saying to me? It says this right here. Walk in the Spirit, Jim, and you will this year be able to participate in this contribution to this particular local church, Holly Hills Bible Church, the way that God has given you the desire to do it. That's just kind of a put some shoe leather on this thing, and that's my own personal story and experience about how this thing flushes out for me. So I would like to keep it practical in terms of how it applies. So the Corinthian believers and we believers have the life of Christ living inside of us, and the grace giving is simply a manifestation of the life of Christ within. And when we boil it all down to that, I think that's it. So principle four, the amount of giving is in proportion to what God has given us. I think this is very important for us to understand this. The amount of giving is in proportion to what it is that God has given us. Because many people try to put pressure, they try to manipulate people to give more money than it is that they can give. But I think the scripture is very clear that it needs to be in proportion to what God has given us. Look at verse 12 again. The end of verse 11 there. Give according to your ability. Also the completion of it by your ability. And we saw that also mentioned in Romans, according to what it is that God had given them. We also saw that mentioned in Acts, according to what it is that God had blessed them. Be giving out of that. And let's go back to Mark in chapter 12. Mark in chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and let's look at verse 41 through 44. Talking about the widow's mite here. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. Can you imagine that? I mean, we know where we put our money. We put it in the little box there by the sound booth. It has a little hole. We drop it in. And can you imagine if somebody was sitting there watching, they positioned a chair somewhere where they got a good eye shot of the people dropping in their money. But that's kind of, what's going on here.
That's a way.
That's right. Maybe got a surveillance camera, hidden somewhere. You watch. Watch the tape every week. So a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." So the principle here is to give in proportion to what it is that God has given to us. The amount doesn't matter when you boil it all down to it. The amount does not matter. I mean, this lady, she gave all that she had to give, and she gave a very, very small amount in relation to what it is that other people might have had to give. Now, who gave more in the eyes of God? This lady did in the eyes of the Lord. I think that's what we're seeing here. Let's go to page number 8. Verse 13. "For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply of their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality." Verse 15, "As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack." Does everybody have page 8? No, I thought I was getting the sense that some people were missing page 8. Okay, well, we can follow with the overhead and we can get it to you later. Okay. Oh, you know, I jumped ahead of my pages. I don't have page 8 either. This is the only page 8, right? Right there. Does some have page 8? You have page 8? A couple of you have page 8? Okay. So let me back up a little bit then. So the readiness to will, it's repeated in verse 11 and 12. And in verse 12, the KJV translated a willing mind, and it is also the same Greek word. So what is the readiness that he's talking about here when we talk about the readiness? For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable. I think that's key. Jack, you want to make a comment?
Is that the same readiness that you mentioned there a few pages back?
Yes. In verse 11, it says, "And now finish also doing it also, so that there may, just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability." What I'm bringing out here is that the KJV translates it a willing mind, so that there may be a willing mind. So the word readiness and the willing mind there are the same. So again, you know, it's bringing out some more insight for us that we're ready. There's a readiness. We have a willing mind. We're ready to do it. We're ready to respond as God leads and gives us the opportunity to do so. So what is the readiness that he's talking about here? I think this is important for us to get a grasp of. The readiness first comes from the Lord as the source, and then the person is to have a means to help and give in this grace giving. The giving is acceptable according to what a person has. Let's look at that. Verse 12. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable to what a person has. Let me read this last line here. It is the readiness to give that makes a person acceptable, not the amount that a person gives. That's huge. So oftentimes, there's this pressure that if we are not giving this certain amount, thus we are not acceptable. Number one, before God. And number two, among our fellow believers. I think that oftentimes believers can put that pressure on other believers. And oftentimes believers can put that pressure on themselves. I looked at that thing that Sue gave me, and you know, in the flesh, there was like, you know, is there something not right here? You know, what if the rest of the saints at Holly Hills knew that? See, where does that come from? It comes from comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. It comes from comparing ourselves with myself. And, you know, and God doesn't view me that way. It's important that we see that. In the scripture, someone that it is the readiness, that the readiness is present, it's acceptable to what it is that a person has, not what it is that he does not, not according to what he does not have. Important for us to understand that. And then equality seems to be central in verses 13 and 15. And then finally, this brings us to our last principle. The purpose of giving is that there might be equality, supplying of each other's needs. This is what we look at the last three verses here, 13, 14, and 15. So, let's look at page 9. Verse 13 says, "It is not intended for one person to give to the degree that they are strained and another person made to flourish." That's not what we're seeing here. If we were to, in this room alone, you know, the financial position of people in this room, it goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. And that's just the way it is. It's not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by the way of equality. So remember though, first we want to give ourselves to the Lord, then we want to give ourselves to the ministry, and then after evaluating your ability to give financially, do so as the Lord leads. So, the poor in Jerusalem were afflicted, and the Corinthians were a little bit better off. We mentioned that earlier. So if the Corinthians were give to the point that they were afflicted, the Corinthians were afflicted, and the others were better off, the problem hasn't been resolved. Does that make sense? So you don't want the Corinthians to give to the point where they're afflicted, and then the poor in Jerusalem are having, they're better off. there's no resolve of the problem. That's what he's saying here. But the goal is equality as best as possible. Does that mean that the poor and afflicted in Jerusalem are going to have as much as those in Corinth? No, I don't think so. But their needs and their afflictions are going to be met. There's a sense of equality, not absolutely equal across the bar, but there won't be a bottoming out and there won't be a super high. There'll be some degree of helping to meet the needs of the afflicted and the poor, because the Corinthians, they can give a little bit more. Help the skills be a little bit more even, instead of there being the poor and those having much to give as those in Corinth. Yeah.
Isn't the equality the fact that the wants and the principles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have criticized Scripture from a socialistic perspective, that basically the teaching of the Word of God is that all should be equal. Therefore, there's no room for capitalism or anything that touches it in any way. I think the equality here relates to the wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the principle of talking.
It's not socialism.
Let me pose this. How would you differentiate between the wants and the needs in that? So I think
the wants are kind of the basics, right?
Yeah.
Shelter.
I might use the word needs, maybe. Because somebody might... Yeah, basic needs.
Wants can be best translated needs, don't
you? Yeah. Yeah, verse 14 says, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need. How does the KJV read there?
Their wants.
Their wants. Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying then. Yep. Okay, got you. Yep, sure. Sure. Yep. Okay, so right now the Corinthians can help with the needs of those in Jerusalem. And if the opportunity and need presented itself, there may come a time when those in Jerusalem may be able to help with the needs of the Corinthians. That situation might present itself. And that's what it is that he's talking about here. Verse 14, at this present time, your abundance, meaning the church in Corinth's abundance, being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there might be equality. So at this point, the church in Corinth can help out the poor in Jerusalem. There might come a point in time where the poor in Jerusalem have more than the church in Corinth, and they'll be able to help out the church in Corinth. So there's this idea of equality, that the needs are met. Yeah.
In terms of the needs in Jerusalem were financial, and the needs in Corinth were spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible that the ones in Jerusalem to fulfill the needs?
Sure.
So it's not only financial, but it's across the board in the totality.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Well, in fact, that's what's happening right there, because what Paul is telling them, it is a spiritual problem that Corinth has, because they don't understand the concept of giving, grace giving.
Mm-hmm.
And by actually doing that for Jerusalem, that is, the people in Jerusalem are, in fact, giving back to them spiritually. I mean, the Corinthians are, in fact, being benefited spiritually.
That's right.
That's happening.
That's right. That's right. Because they're able to have that opportunity to help those in Jerusalem.
I mean, it's happening. Paul's setting that up already.
Sure. That's right. Everybody catch those ideas? Is everybody here? Well, we'll say those are good points. Yeah. The church in Jerusalem might not have monetary means to help the church in Corinth, but they might have spiritual needs to help the church in Corinth. And so that they can help in that way. Or the church in Corinth might have more monetary needs to help those in Jerusalem. So it's not only in a material sense, but also in a spiritual sense that they're able to help and encourage each other. Yeah, that's good thoughts. Let's just go down to verse 15 then, as the bell is rung on us. So verse 15. It says, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. So what we see here is we have a quote coming out of Exodus chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. And this is it. I've left out a little section right here where you see the dots. And so this is what it says. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who gathered much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. This is, you know, God providing for the needs of the nation of Israel in the wilderness with the manna. And so, was there a different amount of gathering? Sure. Based on lots of different things. Some of it was the size of people's families. You know, if somebody had, you know, just a married couple, they wouldn't gather as much as someone who was married with, say, six children. They would gather more. Maybe some people would gather more, and they would give some to those who couldn't get out and gather for themselves because they weren't physically able to do so. So there was different degrees of gathering. But notice that they did not have excess, and you gather little, had no lack. So what's the point? Everyone had enough, and everyone had what they needed. There was no one left wanting or struggling. I think that's what Paul's driving at here. Bob?
Well, the manna came from God only.
Exactly.
I mean, the idea here is that's the principle of grace. Everything's full.
That's right. That's right. With that thought, let's just close with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Right on. You know, that's Paul's heart to these folks. God's going to supply all of our needs, and he's going to want to use you all to help, whether in a materialistic, financial sense or in a spiritual sense. God's going to take care of all of us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. And as always, we pray that your Holy Spirit will bring these things to our remembrance this week and this month and the rest of this year. And I just thank you for our time. Trust the remaining service to you. In your name we pray. Amen.